Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, you'll hear the speech given by Barbara Honegger from the online conference called Deep Truth, Visionaries Speak Out. She's part of one of the panels that was banned by the Left Forum. Apparently, this information is too dangerous for you to hear. Barbara Honegger used to work for the government during the Reagan administration. She's an amazing researcher and wrote the book October Surprise about the Iran-Contra affair. And she's produced a video about the Pentagon on 9/11 called Behind the Smoke Curtain, which can be found on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. She has spoken widely on 9/11, including here at the University of Hartford. The speech you're about to hear has been lightly edited due to time constraints. So here she is, Barbara Honegger, speaking on the panel called False Flag, Mass PSYOP Events as Pretext for Wars and a Surveillance State. And her speech is called 9/11, Gladio Brought Home to the U.S. So here she is, Barbara Honegger.
Thank you, and it's an honor to be here. So the topic that I've decided to talk to you about is 9/11, and I'm going to support this as an American Gladio attack, and I mean that quite literally. I'm dedicating this presentation and everything else that I do from now on to Judge Ferdinando Imposimato. He was the former Chief Justice of Italy's Supreme Court. He personally prosecuted the Gladio false flag terror attacks in his country of Italy, and he and his investigative magistrates there, they have a slightly different legal system than we do, actually a very different legal system based upon Napoleonic law. He and his investigative magistrates, when he was there on the Italy Supreme Court, actually uncovered the proof that the explosives that were used to massacre over 80 innocent civilians in the Bologna train station massacre, terrorist attack, actually came from the NATO base there in Italy. So he has actually written two books, at least two, if not three, on 9/11. They are in Italian, and Jane Clark and myself are working right now to do everything we can to get them translated into English and published for the world to see. This will show you something about what an incredibly courageous and amazing individual Judge Imposimato was. Unfortunately, he died about a year ago. This is a cover of a magazine in which, if I can roughly translate it, it means the judge of courage, the great courageous judge. This is a photograph of Judge Imposimato and myself at the Justice in Focus symposium that started our quest for true 9/11 legal accountability based upon the forensic facts that the 9/11 Truth Movement has already pulled together. So this was a couple of years ago in New York City at Cooper Hall. Unfortunately, Judge Imposimato died. This is his state funeral procession in Rome over this past year. He was a greatly, greatly beloved man. He fought the mafia. He won cases for the mafia. His brother was assassinated by the mafia, but that didn't stop him, and he kept going forward. So what is Gladio? Now, I should say that, as I understand it, they're in Italian, but I've met with Judge Imposimato in Rome with members of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry a couple of years ago with Daniel Sheehan and Jane Clark and myself. And we learned there that his two books, at least on 9/11, which are in Italian, are making the case that the 9/11 attacks was actually an American Gladio. And in my presentation, which I gave in Rome when I met Judge Imposimato the first time, was actually on that topic. And I took it beyond what you're going to see in this presentation. What is Gladio? Gladio, in a nutshell, the Cold War false flag terrorist attacks during the Cold War against innocent civilians in Europe by the extreme right of Europe, and that included the Pentagon, the CIA, and NATO, to blame and discredit the left. And what people are going to learn in this amazing presentation on 9/11, this is my hypothesis, but it's a very supported hypothesis, as you'll see, is that 9/11 was literally an American Gladio with many of the same people, if not the same people, who massacred innocent civilians throughout Europe during the Cold War, actually brought their Gladio attacks back to the United States, and the mother of all of those is 9/11. So what you're going to learn here, and this is my own research, I've put these dots together and gave this presentation first to Judge Imposimato and others in Rome 2 to 3 years ago, is that the man who is the spider in the center of the web for what we're going to learn here was General Lyman Lemnitzer. So just a couple of more data points. There was the Bologna bombing I mentioned that Judge Imposimato personally investigated in Rome and learned about the proof that the Bologna bombings that killed over 80 innocent civilians to blame on the communists and the socialists and anybody they didn't want to win an upcoming election in Italy to discredit them. The Bologna bombing, Judge Imposimato and his investigative magistrates got the proof. They have the documents, actually, that the explosives that killed all those innocent civilians were from the big NATO base in Italy. There were also the Red Brigade's attacks in Germany. We now know from some books that you're going to see the covers of here in a moment that the Gladio operators, NATO, CIA, Pentagon, also I'm sure MI6 from Britain intelligence, they infiltrated the Red Brigades. They had their infiltrators and their informants in there who were actually responsible for doing the agent provocateur actions to provide the explosives for the so-called left to blow up innocent civilians. Then there was the assassination of President Aldo Moro, which Judge Imposimato personally investigated on the Supreme Court of Italy. The assassination of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, which is like the assassination of John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy here in our country. And that's another example of a Gladio operation. So now I'm going to the next slide. This is just a cover of a book, The Pentagon's Nazi Mafia, Gladio, NATO's Dagger in the Heart of Europe by Cottrell. It's just one of many books since the Cold War is over that proves what we're telling you about the Gladio false flag operations by the CIA, Pentagon, and NATO throughout the Cold War. This is probably the most important book by Professor Daniel Genzer, who is in Switzerland. It's NATO's Secret Armies, and everyone in the world really needs to read this book. This is no longer speculative. These are facts. The next slide. This is just an example of how anyone, in this particular example, Professor Daniel Genzer, he not only looked at, for his in-depth study, proving the Gladio attacks by the Western radical right-wing powers against the so-called left in Europe to discredit them throughout the Cold War, but he is also a major truth teller on 9/11. And this is a screen from the beginning of his presentation for the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The next slide. This is just one example, but we know for a fact, and I personally know for a fact, and know this individual personally, his name is Colonel Oswald Lewinter. And I believe that's U.S. Army colonel. He also claimed that he had a position in the German army and German intelligence, and he made a lot of claims. But anyway, he's now deceased, I believe. But this man, you're looking at a screen capture from the segment in the BBC special documentary on Operation Gladio, called Operation Gladio, that you can see online on YouTube. And this man comes on at the screen at this time, and you can hear him talk about how he was the CIA's liaison to Gladio. And believe me, there was, and I'm certain still is, probably under a different name, a so-called Gladio liaison office in the Pentagon and also in the CIA to this day. This is a man who, by the way, was didn't know it at the time until later because this documentary came out after my book October Surprise was published on the deep story behind Irangate. But this man was one of the three then anonymous witnesses or sources for my book October Surprise. If you read my book October Surprise, he is Informant Y. This is the cover of my book, October Surprise. And for anyone who would like to get it, it's still available on Amazon. I think you can buy it for 35 cents now. It was published in 1992 or 93. So please get this book. And there is a section all throughout the book. It's about Informant Y. And the link to the October Surprise in Iran-Contra, believe it or not, and my source for that was the man you just saw, Colonel Oswald Lewinter, CIA's liaison to the Gladio false flag terrorist attacks in Europe throughout the Cold War. The link is that he was my source, and there's a whole chapter in this book, October Surprise, by me, on his information that I supported with other sources that the then-secret Gladio stay-behind stores throughout Europe were actually drawn down and raided to send to Iran during the 1980 Reagan-Bush campaign as the so-called bona fide arms shipments that cemented the treasonous October surprise deal between the Reagan-Bush senior presidential campaign in 1980 and the Khomeini regime to delay the release of our 52 hostages, ensuring Carter's defeat in exchange for a minimum of $5 billion of arms that then flowed to the Khomeini regime against the law right after Reagan and Bush gained office. That is my book, October Surprise, and it's directly linked to the Gladio stay-behind stores in Europe. So, knowing this, could the NATO, Pentagon, CIA black operations teams that we know, it's been proven, mass murdered innocent European civilians throughout Europe, not just in Italy, Germany, but other countries, throughout the Cold War possibly have perpetrated the same thing here in the United States? Could they have brought their CIA, Pentagon, NATO black operations back home? Yes, they could have. And we know they did. This next slide, which is slide 14, Operation Northwoods document. Many people who are watching this presentation know about this already. This was signed by General Lyman Lemnitzer. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff when this was signed in March 1962, when President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, was still alive. This document, as many people know, I'm only going to be able to give you a thumbnail sketch, but what this document does is it was actually approved by every single member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not just by General Lemnitzer, who was the chairman. That is, it was signed off on. It was originally, you can see, top secret. No longer is. It's out in the public domain. So what did it do? This document that was approved by every single top officer of all of our four military services in the United States in 1962, shortly before President Kennedy was assassinated, what did it do? It approved of terrorist attacks on innocent American civilians, using an airliner with so-called carefully selected CIA passengers, swapping that plane for a remote-controlled plane that was mocked up to look like the original civilian airliner, that would then be blown up with an onboard bomb to frame Castro's Cuba to justify an invasion of Cuba. And as you're going to see, this is one of the two major templates, or three major templates, for what actually happened in the United States on 9/11's template for the actual 9/11 attacks. So what about what happened on 9/11? What about clearing the skies of all civilian airliners? Slide 17, this is the cover of the book by the co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission, Keene and Hamilton. It's called Without Precedent. When you read the book, what do they mean by without precedent? What they refer to, amongst other things, but very clearly and explicitly in the book, is that never before, they claim, it's a total and complete big lie, never before 9/11 were all of the civilian planes completely cleared from the skies over the United States of America. That is a lie. It happened in 1962, on October 12th of 1962. You're about to see this. It was the brainchild and masterminded by the same man, General Lyman Lemnitzer. It was called Sky Shield 2. It is one of the templates and precedent for 9/11 on September 11th, 2001 in the United States. He commanded and organized and oversaw Sky Shield 2. It was October 1961, not 62. It was executed on October 12, 1961, which, by the way, happens to be the birthday of the U.S. Navy. That was only 6 months before the same man, General Lyman Lemnitzer, signed that Northwoods document plan that he tried to get President Kennedy to approve to massacre innocent American civilians, to blame it on Cuba as a pretext for invading Cuba. Kennedy said no. And Lemnitzer and the Joint Chiefs of Staff were furious, and we now know that they were definitely complicit in the assassination of President Kennedy not long afterwards. So the twin templates of the 9/11 plot, as you'll see, were developed by the same individual who also, General Lyman Lemnitzer, believe it or not, after he proposed this plan, this Sky Shield 2 plan, to President Kennedy fired him, but promoted him up, and he headed NATO. And he went on to create the Gladio operations in NATO. So Sky Shield 2, what did it do? This is in October 12th of 1961. It was overseen by NORAD and the Air Force. It cleared the skies over the entire United States mainland of all non-military planes. Now, in this case, a little different than 9/11, the skies were cleared on October 12, 1961. However, the American public was alerted that it was going to be an exercise, a so-called counter-Soviet Union attack coming over the North Pole, over Canada. And so if you go back in the microfiche, which I did, I've done that, and by the way, I'm the source for alerting Barry Zwicker to this, which is in his book on the media cover-up of 9/11 and media complicity in 9/11. So the United States citizens and United States Congress were alerted in advance that it was on the front page of the New York Times. You can read this in the microfiche. So it cleared the skies over the entire United States mainland of all non-military planes on the day of the exercise, October 12, 1961. Canadian planes in that exercise played the attackers, the pretend Soviet attackers. And Pentagon planes played the blue team defenders, the Pentagon fighter jets. NORAD radar screens, you read this in the cover stories of the New York Times on this, the day before. NORAD radar screens were tagged, they tagged the exercise plane blips that were inserted on the radar screens with a little icon FK for fake, for a fake plane. And what's the source for this? Believe it or not, besides the New York Times microfiches from those very days before, during, and a few days after SkyShield II in October of 1961, is the Air Force's own publication on September 11th attacks. It's called Air War Over America. I highly recommend it to everyone. Now, people need to know this if you don't already. On 9/11, what are the parallels to what you've already seen? The Pentagon and NORAD, the same agency that did SkyShield II in 1961, shortly before President Kennedy was assassinated, the Pentagon and NORAD conducted hijack scenario exercises on the morning of 9/11. They were scheduled to begin, depending upon the agency, just before or just after the actual attacks, that were piggybacked on similar or even identical scenarios as the so-called exercises. And believe it or not, General Eberhardt testified to the 9/11 Commission. You can still see this, the 9/11 Commission, the National Archives website, the video of his testimony. The head of NORAD on 9/11, General Ralph Eberhardt, actually referred to them as a, quote, Soviet-era exercise. Well, excuse me, the Soviet Union kind of ended back in 1981, didn't it? So why is it a Soviet-era exercise? It was a Soviet-era exercise because they took the Gladio operation and SkyShield II off the shelf, dusted it off, and that's what was behind the planning for the 9/11 attacks here in the United States. On 9/11, radar screens also had exercise plane FK plane injects. The U.S. skies, of course, in this case, after the actual plane impacts, were cleared of all civilian airliners. But this was, believe me, not without precedent. It had been practiced many times by NORAD and our Department of Defense and CIA and our whole black ops intelligence apparatus. The World Trade Center 2 plane was not a civilian airliner. We'll be getting into that. I added that because we know that for a fact, and we know that for a fact at the Pentagon already as well. I'll be getting into that here in a moment. But the whole point of that is in the Operation Northwoods plan signed off on by the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff, signed by General Lemonster, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That plan, of course, was for a civilian airliner to leave an airport and then be swapped for a military plane or a CIA plane that was mopped up to appear like the original civilian airliner that would then be destroyed. The Pentagon attack, bottom line, as you'll see, that is my expertise. It was a self-attack. The Pentagon attacked itself using a remote-controlled plane mocked up to appear to be an American airline airliner that was destroyed by remote control. And I believe that we're going to be able to prove, I do that in my Behind the Smoke Curtain YouTube on the Pentagon attack. I believe that we can prove that that remote-controlled plane that was swapped for the plane that left Dulles Airport, that is alleged to have then made it to the Pentagon, which didn't, was actually one of the special planes of the number three or number four man under Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, Dov Zakheim. That was his business on the side. All right, this is the cover of my DVD, Behind the Smoke Curtain, and it is on YouTube. It has over 500,000 views. Please do watch it because I'm not able to get into all of the evidence here. Next, now that we've seen that Pentagon, CIA, NATO, Black Ops mass murdered European civilians and authorized it here in the United States, the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff, what is the evidence also that this is the real story of 9/11? And what is that real story? The FBI Strategic Intelligence Operations Center, this will give you a good hint, filled to capacity on 9/11. This is a quote from then Director of the FBI, Robert Mueller. This is the cover of Time Magazine, May 10th, 2011. On 9/11, the FBI's Operations Center filled to capacity through, and this is still part of his quote in Time Magazine, Pent Bomb, P-E-N-T-T-B-O-M, that's short for bomb, B-O-M-B. This is still his quote, the FBI's cryptonym for Pentagon, Twin Towers, and bombing. That's bombing. Not planes, not fires, not hijackers, but bombing. Pre-placed explosives. This is a slide just showing you that the Oklahoma City Federal Building and the Pentagon, after the explosions, the FBI's cryptonyms or abbreviations for their investigations of so-called terrorist attacks that are actually inside jobs, like 9/11 was, and the Gladio operations in Europe were, to be blamed on somebody else. In the case of 9/11, Muslims, so-called radical Muslims, that didn't do it. They probably had a plot to do it, but the plot was hijacked and done by our own inside black Gladio black operators. This is an example at the top. The Oklahoma City FBI investigation, code name is Oak Bomb. We already know, and the official story of the FBI and everybody else in the government is that it was a bomb, a place bomb. Of course, the bomb in the Ryder truck is not what did this, but that's another story. And down below, Pitt Bomb. The FBI and everybody who did 9/11, the inside jobbers, they know what they did. And they actually have told you that they know what they did. That's why they've called it Pitt Bomb. So this is a slide number 27, where I'm visually showing you that there's the Pentagon with a Photoshop of the Twin Towers within it. And that's to graphically represent what you're now going to see at least part of. And that is the parallels between the real story of what happened at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Of course, they were the same Gladio black operators behind both, as well as Pennsylvania and the anthrax letter attacks, of course. So the real story of 9/11 at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, which are the two major places of the attacks of 9/11, are pre-placed explosives and or incendiaries in both the World Trade Center towers, World Trade Center 1 and 2, and World Trade Center 7, not hit by a plane at all, as well as the Pentagon. And when you see this evidence, you will understand that no foreign terrorists, whether it's Al-Qaeda or 19 hijackers or bin Laden, who is dying in a cave in Afghanistan, or ISIS, morphed later out of Al-Qaeda, that was actually created by Western intelligence, people like the Gladio operators. No foreign terrorists could possibly have ever had the access to plant the massive numbers of pre-placed explosives, not only in World Trade Center Towers 1, 2, and 7 in New York City, but also in the Pentagon, as you're going to see. Now, I'm giving you the parallel between the Pentagon attack and the World Trade Center. The main story at both places are pre-placed explosives. This is a slide that shows you the difference in time between the first official seismic signal massive event in the deep basements of both World Trade Centers 1 and 2 in New York City before a plane hit either tower, dozens and dozens and dozens of stories higher in the sky. Now, any kindergartner knows that if a massive explosion goes off in the deep basement, and by the way, they also went up a huge pressure wave, came up from the deep basement into the lobby, and that is the reason for the destruction and deaths in the lobby, including for Bobby McElvain, Bob McElvain's son, on 9/11. And Bob McElvain knows that about his son, by the way. We've talked about it. All right, so what's the bottom line of this slide? 14 seconds before a plane hit in the floors of the 90s, just below the top in World Trade Center 1, the very first attack of 9/11 was a massive deep basement explosion 14 seconds before that plane hit. And about 16 minutes later, at World Trade Center 2 in New York City, the other of the Twin Towers, 17 seconds before a plane hit in the 70s of the floors, way high in the sky, 17 seconds before the plane hit, a massive deep basement explosion went off in the basement of World Trade Center 2. These are facts. So let's look at the Pentagon. Could the same thing have happened at the Pentagon? Is it possible that there was a massive explosion in the Pentagon way before, in this case, not just a few seconds before, but almost 8 minutes before? The official story says the plane was even anywhere close to Washington, D.C. The official story says that a plane, allegedly Flight 77, we can prove that is not the case. There was a plane swap at the Pentagon. The plane that left Dulles Airport, it was swapped out. And the plane that flew back east wasn't even the same one that left Dulles. Therefore, it couldn't have had hijackers on it, even if hijackers had originally gotten on the plane. And there's no public domain proof of that even. However, the official story says that whatever plane approached the Pentagon and did its deed there didn't even happen until 9:37 and 46 seconds, almost 9:38. However, it is a fact that at 9:30, almost 8 minutes before this, there was a massive explosion that went off inside the outside ring of the west wedge of the Pentagon near April Gallup's office. She's a critical witness. I call her the Willie Rodriguez of the Pentagon. And you could think of Willie Rodriguez as the April Gallup of the World Trade Center. She's an incredible, courageous witness of the Pentagon attack. Her office, if you look at this slide, which is slide 33, you will see that her office is, if you see that line that divides the two wedges, and you're looking at the west side of the Pentagon, a graphic of it, her office was to the left or to the north of that dividing line between the two wedges. But to the right, you see that white arrow space? That's the alleged official story, the alleged so-called alleged flight penetration path of Flight 77. It doesn't even get anywhere close into Wedge 2. And her office was in Wedge 2 in the outer ring, 120 to 150 feet further to the left or north than the alleged impact point of a plane almost 8 minutes later. There were a massive number of people who died. She luckily did not die on 9/11. Slide 35 is April Gallup on the lawn afterwards. Her wristwatch was stopped by this massive explosion by her desk in the Army, Secretary of the Army's area at 9:30 on 9/11. She still has that wristwatch, and it still has the explosive dust on it to be analyzed. The internal timeline of the White House itself, which I was provided by Professor David Ray Griffin, it is now in the public domain. He got it from the National Archives, now released to the public. It shows that, now this is the internally compiled White House timeline of 9/11. It also comports with April Gallup's stopped wristwatch that the attack at the Pentagon was 9:30, not the official story time of almost 9:38. Over the skies of Washington, D.C. on 9/11, before the real first attack at the Pentagon by pre-placed inside explosions at 9:30, this E-4B, flying Pentagon doomsday machine, with state-of-the-art surveillance and command of control that can see everything for hundreds of miles, let alone directly over the Pentagon, and it was very close to it, was circling over Washington before the Pentagon attack. They know exactly what happened there. They were probably controlling it from the plane. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, he became Secretary of Defense, of course, later, confirmed on ABC News, especially with Diane Sawyer, still on YouTube, that it was, in fact, the doomsday plane, the flying Pentagon, flying over D.C. and the Pentagon on the morning of 9/11, before April Gallup's wristwatch was stopped by the massive explosion inside the Pentagon, almost 8 minutes before any plane was anywhere close to Washington, D.C. I'm going to move through these next slides. They simply prove that all of the official reactions in Washington, D.C., as well as finally removing Bush from the Florida classroom, happened in response to that massive explosion inside the Pentagon at 9:30, because all of this happened right afterwards. Everything happened right afterwards. Even in New York City, where two attacks had already happened on the World Trade Center and not even yet caused the New York Stock Exchange to shut down, it was finally urgently shut down at 9:32 because of the real first attack on the Pentagon, which was by April Gallup's desk at 9:30. I'm going to move through these slides. Proof that there was pre-placed explosives at the Pentagon. This is slide number 43. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff himself, Hugh Shelton, in his memoirs called Without Hesitation, page 434, when he got to the Pentagon shortly after the attacks, the smell of cordite, which is like a plastic explosive, it's a cool burning plastic explosive. It was probably what was used, and we could prove that by doing an analysis of the explosive material still on April Gallup's shoe that she has saved, and her wristwatch, and her clothing that she has in a safe deposit box. So bottom line is there were bombs going off or explosives going off inside the Pentagon. I've interviewed people, hundreds of people saying bombs, 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 it's a bomb, it's a bomb. Also, we have, it sounded like a series of explosions going off, sounded like a series of bombs exploding. This is from somebody inside the Pentagon, two rings in, inside the Pentagon on 9/11. It sounds identical to that famous clip from the Naughty Brothers video of the World Trade Center attacks, where that firefighter said it went boom, 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 like when you're bringing a building down. And that's exactly what was going on inside the Pentagon. So I'm going to move forward now. The cockpit voice recorder at the Pentagon that was made public, it wasn't even the right kind of cockpit voice recorder for any American Airlines 757 on 9/11. And we know that from American Airlines' own press release that was put out by American Airlines right after this was put out in public. It was the wrong kind. And therefore, the flight data recorder that the Pentagon and the FBI and the government rests its entire case, along with the radar records, which were also doctored, I can prove that, and do so in behind the smoke curtain, that the flight data recorder data is from a mocked-up flight data recorder that was done on, it's called a bench. It was created on a bench. It's digitally created in order to make it look like what they want you to believe happened with a plane at the Pentagon. It was the wrong kind. So people, bottom line, people need to know that the real story at the Pentagon and the World Trade Center is the same by the same inside Black Ops Gladio operators. It was an inside job, and the real perpetrators are still at large, and they must be brought to justice. Thank you.
And again, you were just listening to Barbara Honegger speaking at the online conference, which can be found at deeptruth.info. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.